There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Drive Live talks careers.
That's what we're doing now. Toby Simpson is on his way to join us, but we've got our legal expert, Stuart Walker, here to ourselves for the moment, which is a nice thing. Stuart, nice to talk to you. Nice to see you.
Nice to be here again.
Welcome back. Let's start. And I think this is probably a good way to start, because the topic today is the exit interview, which is a hard one. You want to leave, I suppose, in most instances. It's not always this way. I guess we have to be completely open about this. But if you can, it's always best to leave your job on the best terms possible, isn't it?
Well, it is the end of a relationship. And for many people, it's one of the most important relationships in their life. So it's something that has to be handled with a great deal of sensitivity, because people's egos are wrapped up in their job.
And it's not always easy to leave on the best of terms when perhaps you feel that you haven't been treated in the right way or haven't been given what you believe you deserve. You have to, as much as you can. And it's very hard, because your work is very often, it's an emotive issue too, isn't it? But you got to try.
So, yeah, best case scenario, the employee has performed brilliantly but has outgrown the company and is going on to the next step in their career, and their boss understands that, and while they're sad to see the employee go, they accept that that's normal. In that sort of situation, things can be handled pretty easily. Worst case scenario, you've fired the employee and they're very disappointed and upset that they've lost their job.
And what happens if maybe you're leaving because you're not happy there and there's a little bit of bad terms? What kind of things can you do as the employee to ensure this exit goes as smoothly as possible and keep you on the right side of the law?
First and foremost, if you've decided that you're just not happy and you want to leave, you need to give proper notice in accordance with your contract. If you just walk out the door one evening, bad things will happen, complications will occur, and you won't get your gratuity, which is a major financial consideration for a lot of people.
So here's the thing. Assuming you're employed in the correct fashion, you should have in hand an employment contract. The terms of that are the terms that you need to follow. So before you do anything,
Read your contract.
Yeah. I mean, but it's an important point to make, because how many of us, if we're really honest, I've said this before, but it amazes me, how many people have actually read their employment contract and really understand the terms of their employment? It's not criticism, it's an observation.
Yeah, particularly if you've been in the role for several years. The number of clients we've had through our doors, and they're looking at some sort of employment dispute, and you say, show me your contract, and they say, well, I'll try and find it, or I have the old one. We had a new one this year, but I don't seem to have a copy of that. That happens more often than you'd think.
It's funny, I have a friend who does quite a specialised job, and she decided to leave, and she handed in her notice, and her boss turned around and said, no, your contract says 2 months notice, and she said, no, it doesn't, I've got it here. And he was a bit like, where am I going to get someone who can do this in a month? But he was convinced any of his employees had to give 2 months notice, and for whatever reason, the contract was drawn up that it was 30 days notice. So I think some people assume it's a certain notice period, but you do need to read carefully what your specific terms are.
Absolutely.
It's frightening, isn't it?
Well, it goes both ways, obviously. So let's assume the best case scenario there is a given. Everything's fine, you've outgrown the company, and you can leave on really good terms. That's a nice position to be in. Let's look at the other side of the coin. If you are being forced out by a manager, very often people leave companies not because of the company, because of the manager. That's a given. How do you handle it in that you want to make the point that you're leaving because you've been badly managed or treated badly, whatever it is, but how do you do that within reasonable parameters? Or should you even do that, to be fair, Stuart?
Well, from a strictly legal perspective, you've given notice, 1 month's notice or 2 months' notice, whatever it is in your contract. You're still an employee with obligations to the company during that period. And particularly if you're hired in any sort of professional capacity, you're going to want to do your job properly right up until the last day, if nothing else, to demonstrate that you are a professional.
This is the thing I'm thinking. Very often you leave on bad terms. To what extent do you handle yourself in a professional capacity to the best of your ability till the day you leave? And to what extent do you make it clear to perhaps somebody higher up the chain that I'm leaving for this reason? I mean, much of this is how you see your position in the company, how you perceive the reception to these comments. But legally speaking, there is no position there. You just have to leave and then go, and there's very little recourse, I suppose.
Yeah. What you shouldn't be doing during that period is stealing suppliers' lists, or, you know, taking the office laptop home and forgetting about it, or, you know, misuse of company property during that period is something we see quite often, unfortunately. And if someone's leaving on less than good terms, there will always be concern, depending on their role, about taking lists of information or databases or things of that nature.
One more thing just before we go to the news. I want to just bring this up with you for the perspective of somebody legally. The letter, the reference letter that I suppose many of us will call on from a previous employer, that's a standard procedure, isn't it? I suppose you it's not a right that you have, but it is reasonable to expect that a reference letter should be delivered.
Well, you have a legal right to what is called a service certificate, which is a written statement which says when you were hired, when you left, so your period of service, the type of work you did, and confirming your salary and allowances on the date of departure. So the labour law says very clearly that you have a right to get that. Now, that's not quite a reference letter in the terms you and I would understand, but sure. It's a start.
But you have a right to get that, and were that to be refused, or well, we'll do that at some point, and people conveniently forget, you have a right to keep asking.
Absolutely.
To demand that.
Yep.
Okay. On Career Connect, or what was Career Connect, Drive Live talks careers this afternoon. Stuart Walker is here from Afridi Angel. He's a partner. We're talking the exit interview. Toby Simpson from the Gulf Recruitment Group will be joining us as well. Questions, usual story. If you have a career question, 4001, or via the free app, that costs you nothing, or you can call us on 423-1010. Legal advice for free today.
This is Drive Live with Natalie Lindo-Taylor and Tim Elliott.
We have our legal expert in the studio with us, Stuart Walker from Afridi and Angel.
Drive Live talks careers.
Okay, Stuart, we've got a few questions in for you. I think this leaving idea and the exit scenario has struck a chord with a few people. There's no name on this one. It says, hi, I left my employer 5 years ago. Can I request for a reference or service letter now? I had worked with that company for 10 years.
Yes, I mean, the labour law is pretty clear. You have a right to it. It's a little bit unusual that they've left it so long before asking for it, but why not? They should ask for it and the company should give it.
Yeah, I mean, but until you mentioned it, it's something I've not heard about or come across, but it makes sense if it's there in the labour law. Maybe if you have left on bad terms, at least then when you go to a new employer and they say prove what your salary was or prove how many years you've worked at this company, you have the evidence in a document. We also have a question from Owen. He says some government departments state to employees that UAE labour law doesn't apply to them and their policy may differ. Is that a legitimate claim from the companies?
That's absolutely correct. Article 3 of the labour law says it doesn't apply to employees of the federal government and municipalities of the different emirates and so on. So that's correct, yeah.
All right then, let's welcome Toby Simpson to the studio as well. Toby, lovely to see you.
Better late than ever.
You're looking, I must say, very relaxed, very kind of windswept. Have you got a two-seater car and is the top down?
Not the windswept. This is just what being a gentleman of leisure does to you. It just really takes the tone down of life a few stops.
Toby Stiller, director at Gulf Recruitment Group, of course. Look, we were talking about the exit interview there with Stuart. We've looked at some of the legal aspects. With you, I suppose, let's look at the exit interview. Oh, you're waving at me.
I am waving at you. Just before we continue, Toby came in and gave me a look of absolute disdain because
really?
I was talking about the service certificate, and I mentioned that if you needed to prove your salary or how long you worked at somewhere, that this is the document you would use. Of course, I wouldn't condone doing that, Toby, before you panic.
No, I would say that's absolutely fine. I'm a big fan. As you know, we've had this banter many, many times before of complete transparency in all HR-related processes. And this is just one of them.
Right.
Let's talk about the exit interview. You're leaving the company. Let's take the best case scenario that Stuart mentioned a few moments ago. Best case scenario, it's just time to move on. There are no bad vibes. You're leaving. You're on the up. It's time to get to a different job. Everybody wishes you well. How do you handle the exit interview, both from the employer side and the employee side?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the employer side. The employer side is really important, and it's actually, I believe, the employers that get most out of this process. So, the desires of the employee doing the exit interview is just to get out as smoothly as possible, not to wrinkle any feathers. There's normally a lot of emotion in there, but, you know, my advice to people actually taking one of these is take a step back, make sure there's no advice, and have a think before you go in about what you're going to say. So any criticism has to be incredibly constructive and almost kind of put it on yourself. I felt I didn't really fit into the boisterous culture that you have here, that sort of thing. Very soft ways of saying these sort of things. Nothing that could get someone like Stuart involved in a libel case or defamation. Definitely don't admit to. Now I'm leaving, I might as well tell you I've nicked all the staplers for the last 5 years. don't be saying that. Go in very positive. It is a good idea. It's good, you know, if you've had a great relationship with an employer for 4 or 5 years, this is your chance for an open forum to give as much constructive criticism to help them prosper in the future, as well as a lot of praise. Always sandwich anything like that with, it's been an amazing 5 years, or, I really love the water cooler, or whatever it might be. But it's important, I think, to be honest as possible for everyone's benefit.
And do you think it is important to keep the door open, or do you think, you know, if you've kind of still got half a foot still in the door of that company, you won't move on successfully?
Yeah, absolutely. There's always a chance. We see it in recruitment time and time again of people repeating the same name, repeating on their CVs, and they end up going back. Grass is always greener. You find out when you leave it's actually not that terrible, particularly people who move overseas. And then they come back to the UAE and they find themselves in the same company. That's very important. But the other really important point to note is this is still a relatively small marketplace. And you will find that the manager that you absolutely slated in your exit interview has followed you to the new company and is now your new manager again. And you're in for a whole heap of trouble. So, absolutely. Lay off.
There is a story online not so long ago. It went viral, of course. It was a man that was left the country to pursue another career, left his partner behind, and a few years later she turned up as his boss. So you do have to be careful about how you behave. But do you think that there's an element of wanting to move on and not thinking about how delicate you are with people before you leave?
Yeah, exit interviews are normally emotion. Normally people are actually leaving for a reason, and very rarely actually it's salary. The only time it actually tends to be salary is when people feel underpaid against their peers. So there's normally a combination of pull and push factors. And there's normally a lot of emotion. We are all ambitious people. We tie a lot of our life into our careers. We tie a lot of our emotions into our careers as a result. So in something like an exit interview, you can have a whole plethora of emotion swanning around, and there's a massive temptation to absolutely cut loose. But I try and be as professional as you possibly can. And the very fact people are doing exit interviews, provided there's a good HR team, the real value of this is if people are honest, or as honest as they can be without getting the likes of Stuart involved in libel cases. As long as they're honest, it has real value for the company. Now, you have big companies, and your exit interview should never be conducted by your line manager. That's absolutely the wrong thing to do, or the buddy of your line manager, or someone working in a similar position. It's 70.9% of cases are taken by HR, but a lot of the time they're taken by either independent consultants, somebody that is a friendly face that has nothing to do with the company and is likely to extract the most useful information out of the individual, so that you can see if there's a team of 15 people and within a year 8 of them leave, you've got a concurrence of information as to why this is happening. It might be to do with a manager, it might be to do with, you know, a great competitor entering the market and simply targeting your company as headhunting. But this is where the real value comes in for employers. It's if you do these things right, they have a massive benefit to you in so many ways.
You can really start to see trends, can't you? And it does point to how an organization is functioning. managerially, perhaps, if lots of people are leaving a particular department, there's probably a reason for that. And it's more than likely the old story of people don't leave companies, they leave managers. For example, that's the employer's point of view. Just before we'll take a quick break and we're going to talk more about the employee point of view. But just briefly, what's the thing that you need to go in thinking? If you are leaving a company, you're going in for the exit interview, it's one of those points where you think, I haven't got any nerves here, I'm off anyway, who cares? You've got to keep those feelings or nerves in check, I suppose. But what should your mindset be when you walk into that room and you see the person there about to, not dress you down, but ask you, well, why are you moving on?
Oh, if it's a combative, it should never be a combative meeting. But if it's a combative meeting, in any meeting, just remember your number one objective in your exit interview is to get out smelling of roses. So you make sure your leaving process is as smooth as possible. You give them no room on being able to deduct anything from you, or you know, reason to question your gratuity, or have a reason to actually fire you, as opposed to leaving properly. So your number one objective is to keep that meeting as smooth as possible, and anything else you give them is a bonus for them.
It's the exit interview. How do you leave a company on the best possible terms? How do you handle yourself? How should your company or management handle itself? Toby Simpson from the Golf Recruitment Group and Stuart Walker is our legal expert here in case you don't leave on the best terms. Stuart's answering legal questions today on Drive Live Talks Careers.
This is Drive Live. Get in touch with the show.
Text us on 4001.
Drive Live Talks Careers.
That's what we're doing this afternoon. We're looking at the exit interview. What do you get from it as an employee? What do you get from it as an employer? Is it even worth anything? Toby Simpson's here from the Golf Recruitment Group. Stuart Walker's here from Freedy and Angel, our legal and legal expert. He's a partner at the firm. Let me ask you this question, Stuart, if I may. Here's a text. Are exit interviews mandatory? And if they're not, what's the point? That one we'll give to you, Toby. But then, is it a mandatory?
Well, I think the thing to realize is that you're probably still an employee at the time of the exit interview. If it's before your last day of employment, if it's in your last week, you are an employee. So yeah, you have to comply with the reasonable directions of your manager.
Mm. And if you decide to not bother, and if you're not obliged, the company doesn't really care. In some cases, I think it's perhaps that's the case. Should you bother, Toby? Can you just be like, I've had enough, I'm going.
You know? Well, you've got to work your notice, that's absolutely clear.
Sure.
But what would you gain by not doing so? You know, you're okay. Let's say on another time, the number of times you get dragged in to do something that's outside your core area of work, you're probably going to moan about it's taking time away from my real job. What's going on? At this stage, you don't really care too much about your real job. So you've got nothing really to lose, and potentially everything to gain. If you refuse to do it, it's just going to create bad blood. It might affect your references going out later on. It could affect all sorts of things. So do it with a smile on your face and be as compliant as possible.
You can understand why some people might be nervous, though. You know, if everything's run smoothly to this point, you don't want to say something wrong in the interview and worry that it might affect the reference. It's a bit difficult.
True, absolutely true. And I think this is beholden on the companies. To really get the most out of exit interviews, it has to follow a particular format. And the reason it should follow a format, formats can be boring because it means you don't get free flow information coming out as you would in a conversation. But the reason it should be a kind of a structured interview is, means you can consolidate that information. It becomes useful later on a grander scale. So if you mix that with a more questionable style, and if the approach of the interviewer, who is absolutely, I say again, not the line manager, but someone two or three parties removed, it can be HR, it can be another member of the leadership team, or wherever it might be, then they should make that person feel incredibly comfortable. The worst thing you want to do as an employer is approach this in an aggressive manner. You can feel personally slighted, particularly entrepreneurs feel slighted if people want to go off and join another entrepreneur. But you need to take your emotion out of it as well. Make the person feel as comfortable as possible to give yourself the best chance of getting useful information that you can act on. You could get competitor knowledge out of this. You could get, you know, you could get a whole range of information about the culture, the feeling, the happiness in the office, things you can do that could be improved that people wouldn't normally say. So, biggest advantage there to the employer if they can do it right.
And sure, a text has come in for you, understandably, no name on this one. I have an employment case with Dubai courts that's been referred to an accountant for analysis, requiring me to pay expert fees. Can I apply to the court to have the fees postponed?
Yes, you can, but I don't think you'll get very far, sadly. Dubai courts quite often refer matters to experts. The experts need to be paid a fee. It's normally not a massive fee, but I can understand in an employment dispute, you know, it might seem a lot to this individual. So yes, ask the court to waive it or postpone it, but I don't think you'll get very far.
Before you were here, Toby, having enjoyed your ride at a cabriolet and looking all windswept, one of the things that Stuart mentioned was the don'ts when you walk into an exit interview. You need to have, and I think this is a point worth making again, read your contract to understand exactly where you stand contractually if you're leaving your employment, but also to not go in guns blazing, to not be critical, to not go in defaming individuals, for example. But the point really is, isn't it? Walk in and think to yourself, what are they going to ask me? If I am leaving and I haven't said exactly why I'm leaving, I don't really want to be too rude about people, for example. You've got to think it through and decide how you're going to handle it.
Yeah, absolutely. So the sort of questions that are going to come up are, they're going to ask about your satisfaction in 10 different ways. So they're going to ask about the satisfaction for the training you receive, be it on the job or external training. They're going to ask you with satisfaction about your compensation package. They're going to ask you about satisfaction with company parking spaces, or a whole range of different things. And all these things are slightly repetitive for a particular reason, because it gives them more and more chance to drag information out of you. The really good ones will ask you questions that are open-ended. Such as if you were to improve your division, what would you do? Now, still a lot of people would say, you know, they'll be difficult about this, and they'll say, you know, there's nothing you can do. It's absolutely perfect. So a really good one that I like using is complete this sentence. I wish the company would go on and do this. And to get that person to complete the sentence, it kind of puts them out of kilter, because they're not expecting that sort of question. And it's like dragging information out of people. It's a good interrogation technique. If you're an employee, you don't have to answer within seconds. Think about what you're about to say before you're about to say it, and make sure it fits into that parameter of is this aiming towards me leaving smoothly. Is anything I'm about to say, could that be deemed defamatory, damaging? Could this ruin my references later on?
And Stuart, final question for you. This one comes in from someone called, we'll call him Terry. Terry says, I was made redundant from my job after 6 years due to the closure of their office here. I was promised a bonus if I successfully delivered a handover plan during my notice period of 3 months. No handover plan was agreed with me, but I completed as much of the work as I could and prepared detailed handover notes, but they have only paid me 20% of the promised bonus. Where do I stand legally?
Well, if you can prove the existence of a binding contract, you should be able to enforce the terms of that contract, but it'll come down to who said what and what you can really prove, and whether it's worth going to court to recover that.
And what's in writing, I suppose. One question that we get in a lot, and it's come in again today, if you do leave a company in less than a year, are you bound to pay visa costs?
No.
That's what I thought. It comes in a lot. I think perhaps lots of companies are trying to do that. Shazley notes, exit interviews are great. I'm joining one of my ex-employers again, as a result, which backs up your original claim, Toby, that you need to take this seriously, because you never quite know what's going to happen in a smaller market, such as is Dubai, for example.
Absolutely. Good on Shazley, it was. I think it is. Obviously made a good enough impression while they were there that the employer wants them back. So that's a great sign, and congratulations.
All right. That's pretty much it today for careers on Drive Live Talks. Our two guests, Stuart Walker, partner at Afridi & Angel. Stuart, it's been good to have you here. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And also Toby Simpson, windswept and interesting, and from the Gulf Recruitment Group. Nice to see you, Toby.
Thank you, Tim. Thank Bye. You.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.